All right, we're on page 52, Life Sketches, or Sketches from the Life of Paul. Do chapter 5, and it talks about preaching among the heathen. And this is instrumental for us in these coming days, because just about everybody out there is going to be a heathen. But you don't want to be telling them that. It's just like those street preachers I saw years ago when a young girl comes walking up, and she's got her arm around her boyfriend, and he calls the boyfriend a whoremonger, and he calls a little girl a whore. I says, yeah, that's going to get them into the pearly gates. I mean, come on. They don't know they're in sin, so you can't judge them until they know for a fact they're in sin, and then they don't care, and they walk away in sin. As Christians, I'm saying, you know, because you got to use tact. Christ wouldn't have done, and look what he did with Mary Magdalene. He just told her, go and sin no more. He didn't bring any of that stuff up, you know, like everybody else was throwing her at his feet and saying, oh, she's caught in the act and all this. No, he didn't jump all over that at all. Could have. And a lot of people don't understand, oh, he's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, or he's writing something in the sand. He was writing their sins in the sand. You know, and I actually, I think I was just talking about this on the radio a few moments ago as I was ready to cut in on a pre-recorded thing. But you can tell when some people from other denominations read Ellen White's writings by watching what they say in his sermons. I heard a Baptist preacher talking about the robes of light that Adam and Eve were wearing, because everybody else thinks they were just stark naked. No, the robe of light, you know, like when Moses' face shone, we're going to have robes of light when we get home, because that's what you're going to be wearing as clothing in heaven. And the minute that's what they had on them, and the minute they decided to go into sin, they walked away from Christ, and so he has to walk away from them. They have free will, just like we do. And all of a sudden, they realize they're naked. So a Baptist preacher's talking about that, and you're not going to find that unless, of course, you do a deep, in-depth study of Moses and then kind of like calculate and figure out that Adam and Eve must have had robes of light. But no, Sister White talks about those robes of light. And then there was somebody else. I saw another preacher talking about something that... you're only going to find in Ellen White's writings that, and he was a Presbyterian, I think. But I remember one time when we were, like I was saying on the radio a few moments ago, I think that was when I was preaching, it was back in 2010 or something, but years before that, I was associated with this guy who claimed to be a pastor. Found out later he wasn't, but yeah, it's neither here nor there. But he was trying to start this little church, and we were meeting in a county building. That's, as a matter of fact, that's where we had our first camp meeting, or convocation, if you want to call it that, in Indiana, was at this little county building, and it was $100 for a week, or a weekend. It was a weekend for $100. And we did that, and it was right after the hurricane, and we got all the clouds came over, and so that satellite link up that we brought stopped working the minute I got on the pulpit, because I had a few preachers there, right? So no one heard my... I had a PowerPoint presentation about Antichrist, so nobody heard that online. But when after that we started rent, or he... I didn't approve of this, but you know, there's really no big deal about it, because we didn't have any place to meet. There was too many of us to fit in someone's home, and so started renting this one church on Sabbath. It was a Methodist church, and they had this back room that was behind the pulpit. And the proper definition of pulpit is the platform you're standing on. The pulpit's not that thing you stand behind. That's called a lectern. But I always call it pulpit because everybody else thinks it's a pulpit. So, you know, I'm not going to sit there and educate everybody every 5 seconds. Anyway, behind that, there was a small room, and there was a bookcase in the room. And I'd always go back there, or he'd go back there, or whoever was going to be preaching would go back there and pray a few moments before hitting the pulpit, asking the Lord to bridle your tongue and all that good stuff, you know. And one day I was back there praying, and I have a tendency sometimes to walk around in prayer like I do in the midday. I'll go out in the trees or something. And I noticed in the bookshelf he had a bunch of books from Ellen White. I thought, well, that kind of, you know, because she was Methodist, from what I understand, in the early days, and so that they could have just been getting it from there. But I thought that was, you know, rather interesting that, it ran full circle, even though they were Sunday keepers at that time. We were renting, or he was renting from them. And so, I don't know why I went to all there, but now let's get back into this. there's a reason I jumped in there, but we're going to be preaching among the heathen in the coming days, and we've got to use tact and gentleness and love to bring the, and I keep praying for that, and I know you all are praying for it as well. Just keep praying that the Lord fine tunes your walk to make you more and more Christ-like, so that it'll be so much easier to share with people in regards to this truth that we understand and embrace. This is what it says, and again, this is the title is Chapter 5, Preaching Among the Heathen. It's on page 52 of Sketches from the Life of Paul, for those that are just joining us on WTPR or here in the stream or wherever. But it says, the apostles next visited Iconium. This place was a great resort for pleasure seekers and persons who had no particular object in life. The population was composed of Romans, Greeks, and Jews. There's a hodgepodge. It's just like any city today, though. You know, and it goes further than that. You got the Muslims, atheists, homosexuals, all of it now. So anyway, the apostles here, as at Antioch, first commenced their labors in the synagogues for their own people, the Jews. They met with marked success. Numbers of both Jews and Greeks accepted the gospel of Christ. But here, as in former places where the apostles had labored, the unbelieving Jews commenced an unreasonable opposition to those who accepted the true faith and, as far as lay in their power, influenced the Gentiles against them. Now, this is par for the course. This is the fruit of the Christian people, the obedient Christian people, to have to deal with this stuff. I remember when we first started preaching online, back in Fire Talk days, and there was this man that used to come in. You know, I mean, they used to do this. A lot of people did this, but usually they would come in and just slam you or get on the mic, because this is before we knew how to control the mic a little better. They would get on a mic, and it was just, you know, verbal sewage and all lies and hate and all this other stuff. But there was this man. It's kind of like what we see going on now in the stream. Where every Sabbath, someone comes in and puts a thumbs down or a few thumbs down or something like this. Or back then in Fire Talk days, there was a guy named Donnie, and somebody tagged him Donnie Dangerously from that movie back in the 80s, I think it was. Because everybody that was in the church family, and there was like 75 to 100 people that met every night on this Fire Talk thing. And we did that for 18 months because the only reason, I mean, I wanted to stay on there for years, but they went belly up because they got attacked by Pell Talk. And Pell Talk, if you want a virus or if you want to have to deal with the temptation of porn, well, then go to Pell Talk. But because they were bad from the start. But this guy, Donnie, everybody in the church family knew that he was in the room. And then with Fire Talk, you couldn't kick them out of the room. You can only turn them off on your end, kind of like with the Usenet thing. It was called a kill file, and when I was doing the BBSs, you know, bulletin board systems, or what they would call Usenet, someone I would share with, and I was a firm believer in Titus 3:10, right, verses 9 and 10, and so when somebody get all up in my face about something, especially in regards to the law of God, I'm just going to follow my father's lead, because I got other people I want to talk to, because I learned my lesson years ago, spending all my time talking to one man, and that's where my ministry was for like 6 months. Trying to help this one guy. But boy, did I get a lot of knowledge, because it was just constant questions. And it turned out, it worked out well anyway for him. He was Lutheran, and his Lutheran pastor kept on going the what if thing, and then he would come at me with the what if and the twisted verses, and I'd put them all back, and boy, it was an education. It was like going to college for 6 months, I gotta tell you, you know. And that's the way I prefer to learn, you know, topical study. And so anyway, this guy, he sits there, and everybody in the room that was part of the church family knew to have him turned off. I can't remember, red dot, that's what it was. We would red dot the guy, and that's your power, because I was the moderator, and I had a hammer, a big hammer. And then the little moderators had small hammers. And we could red dot, I was the only one that could red dot somebody, and so when I red dotted them, they can still come in a room, but they couldn't say anything, or, you know, if you In other words, you were told it was a red dot, and you had the people that came into the room had to red dot them on their own, so that, you know, that otherwise he would distract the daylights out of you, sending private messages or putting all these lies in the text chat. And so whenever someone new came in, they would say, "Well, what is this Donnie guy talking about?" He says, "Oh, look, it's talk to somebody. You'll see, this guy's a problem. He just sits there." My point in all this is this has been the norm for us in the remnant church since it's our infancy, since our start. We go forth, just like with Nehemiah trying to rebuild the wall, and you got Sanballat there throwing the crummy stones to try to slow the work down or pull some of the people off the path or off the job, right? We have been seeing the exact same thing ever since we started. In fact, that's what, and praise God for this, by the way, that's what got us to a point where we literally stopped using public ISPs for co-locating servers or using their servers with a monthly fee, which was ridiculously cheap, and you had fly-in speed, right? I mean, all of $25 a month, I think it was, but no, see, you know, I think it was $25 a month, yeah. You got like 10, like 100 meg of space on the server. Now it would probably be gigs now, but back then it was like 100 meg of space. And it was $25 a month, and you had a fly-in T1, and everybody was on dial-up back then, and so T1 is like, oh, that's all the rage, you know. And T1's 1.5 meg up and down, and it's $800 a month. We ended up having to do that instead of paying. But then I could co-locate, too, and that's $100 a month, which means I would put my own server in their, on their trunk line, if you call it, whatever. I can't remember what they called it. And I can come in anyway, you know, using SSH if I was using Linux, or using another method if I was using Windows. And I would always do my maintenance on my server from home that way, and it was $100 a month. But because it was a public server, I had to deal with the naysayers, you know, the people that would call and complain about my website. It never ended, to the point I got tired of the phone calls from the people that I was. And they weren't going to kick me off. They were just letting me know this is getting to be a problem for them. I said, look, I don't want to cause you guys any problems, so I'm praying. I'm going to see if the Lord can bless me with the way to do a server in our own home. And that's actually what ended up happening. That's been like that ever since. But this is what you have to deal with next, brothers and sisters, because if you want to go out there, you got to, and don't be all scaredy cat and think it's like, you know, it's you don't want to have to deal with that, you know. So I just assume sit at home and pray for everybody. No, if the Lord's calling you to go out there and do the work. Who are those two guys, Mel? Was it you that sent me the email? I think you sent me the email. There's two guys that the Lord called to go forth after 1844 to proclaim the truth that refused to do it, and then the Lord told Ellen White to do it. You know, because if you don't do the work, someone else is going to step up. You know, that's why I always say, here I am, Lord, send me. And so I'm just giving you some advice in the beginning, and I've shared this with a couple of the guys that preach and teach here in the room as well as you know, with their videos and stuff. The minute you go out there and declare truth with your own lips, you're looked at. I mean, thanks, Brother Anthony. Okay, William Foy and Hazen Foss. The Lord called those two guys to go forth, and they decided they were too lily livered or knee knockers or whatever. They were just too, they didn't want to have to deal with the hassles, you know. And I'm sure they have people in their living rooms or kitchen saying, oh, what you're doing is going to get you killed, yeah. Because I've seen that happen with me as well. A grown man in his 70s crying and saying, what you're doing is going to get you killed. I says, no, I've had people that wanted me dead in the past that ended up dying. And so I trust my Father. If he wants me to do this work, he's going to make sure this work's going to get done. And it doesn't even matter if it's big government or anything like that. The Lord can stop them too, you know. He's God. He's the great God of heaven. I mean, you know. And this is why the elite did what they did with Hollywood, and then, of course, Disney. Because when they tried to infiltrate the United States of America in its infancy, they knew that they couldn't get at the people because they were close to their God. So they figured they got to get them away from their God. And the only way to do that was to distract them with entertainment. And the rest is history, of course. And so anyway, going on, as in former places, I'm going to pick it up again where I left off, but I'm going to go backtrack. It says, as in former places where the apostles had labored, the unbelieving Jews commenced an unreasonable opposition to those who accepted the true faith and, as far as lay in their power, influenced the Gentiles against them. The apostles, however, were not easily turned from their work, for many were daily embracing the doctrine of Christ. Now, this, when you get a little later, I don't know, I would imagine, maybe she already did talk about this guy, John Mark, if you remember him. He let it get to him. You know, I mean, or here's another guy, Jonah. He let it get to him. You know, I don't want to go out there. Or Jeremiah. He didn't want to go out there and do it, but the Lord, you know, yeah, even Jeremiah says, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm done. It's just, it's like going in one ear and out the other. But in today's language, I can't stop this fire that burns within. I got to go forth and say it. And that's kind of like what I go through and you go through, those of us that want to say it. But if you don't say it, then the Lord knows he can't use you, and then when that ladder rain falls, you know, you're going to stand high and dry. Anyway, going on, it says, they went on faithfully in the face of opposition, envy, and prejudice, or envy and prejudice. Yeah. Miracles were daily wrought by the disciples through the power of God, and all whose minds were open to evidence were affected by the convincing power of these things. Now, when that latter rain falls, it's going to fall more abundantly than it did on the apostles. We know this. It's right there in the book of Joel. And we're going to see miracles that they could never imagine. How many of you, and if I could show a raise of hands, it probably would be every hand in the house, have noticed lately, especially the last couple, 3 years, how the devil's trying to tempt you in ways that you have already overcome in the past. He's trying to bring things up. He's trying to do everything he can to distract you, to stop you, to make you fearful, or you know, to make you sit on the couch, or make you watch videos, or not do this, or not do that. It's gotten to a point where he's showing his hand. He knows the latter rain's going to fall. As a matter of fact, they're even doing videos, some of these rock and rollers out there with their videos about the rain coming. But they, of course, use a different term for the rain because Satan has his own fake false revival, which is more or less just going to be, you know, drawing people into his camp. But when the temptation comes, try to concentrate on the fact that, or ask the Lord to remind you. Amen to that, Sister Tracy. She said, "I want to be like John the Baptist," and amen to that. Go out there and tell the people, make the path straight. And so when you feel like the temptation comes and stuff like that, try to remember that latter rain's about to fall more abundantly, and you're going to see the Lord's hand move in ways that you never ever, or even the apostles could never imagine, and it's all going to be because of your obedience to the great God of heaven. Why would you want to mess that up? I mean, yeah, amen. Yeah, he's working hard on me too, sister. He works hard on all of us because he's, those of us that are a threat to him, because he knows some of us he may have by the toe hole. That's all he needs is a little pinky toe. He just needs a little bit of a pinky toe just so that he yanks on it every now and then when we're getting a little bit too in-depth in the Bible or something like that, I guess. I don't know. I don't. I know people that, you know, they're always in and out of the truth, and they'll backslide, come back. That's, you know, they may be a super threat, and that's why the devil keeps going after them. They're going to have to make the decision sooner or later. But anyway, going on, it says that this increasing popularity of the doctrine of Christ stirred the unbelieving Jews to fresh opposition. They were filled with envy and hatred and determined to stop the labors of the apostles at once. Now, the same thing's going to happen today. They're going to have the envy. They're going to have the hatred. We already know the hatred's there. You know, it's just because of the truth. As a matter of fact, I had to block a guy on YouTube the other day because he comes in there slamming the Christians left and right, because you guys won't stand up to the government. And it says, read Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. We're not supposed to stand up against the government. We're supposed to obey the powers that be. They are ordained of God. And so he's trying to make Christians look like they're a bunch of wimps and lily-livered. Really? Do you know what the Christians go through to stand firm in Christ? We don't bow to the government when they demand law, because that day's coming. Like they say, it's legal to drink alcohol. Well, then go ahead, drink it. I'm not gonna. It's legal to slowly kill yourself, break commandment number 6 by smoking cigarettes. yeah, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But when they demand you keep Sunday holy, that's when you're going to see it's not going to be civil disobedience. I guess you can call it that. But we're just going to obey the God of heaven, and that's it. And, you know, so the hate, the fanning the flames of hate is already out there. There's already the people out there that are already coming up with ways to, because this was actually based on the guy that was killed the other day in Minnesota, Minneapolis. that one guy where the cop was kneeling on his neck. They arrested the cop this morning, by the way, or this afternoon. But my point is that he wants the Christians to go out there and stand up and make a big stink about all this, and says, why? You know, if you're an obedient Christian, because there's probably a bunch of Christians in that crowd doing it now, but if you're an obedient Christian, you know all this has to do with the end of days. You can't change it. You know, and then, and sooner or later, the Lord's going to call you to go forth. And this is why I put the video up about the other day about, I think I put it up yesterday, but I can't remember the title of the video. But towards the end of the video, I mentioned the Green Sabbath, and how the fact is that that's just the start of the talking points, and some may get confused in regards to all that, but that's, you know, for those that understand it and study in deep, they're going to see what I'm seeing too, you know. And for those that don't and get confused about it, the ones that are nice about it, because right now just about everyone that's a little confused about me actually putting that in there, they're very nice about it, which means they have an open heart for the truth, which is nice. But then some people just come up and slam you. And so this is, again, just the normal, you know, opposition that we're going to see that Paul saw in his days, the fresh opposition that he saw when the, you know, the doctrine of Christ became popular. It's just like when we go forth and become extremely popular when it comes to the truth, not us, but the message becomes extremely popular in regards to how we're going to be able to make it crystal clear in the hearts of men and women all over this planet that Sunday is not the Sabbath. It is the mark of the beast. It will be easily understood by everyone, because when that latter rain falls more abundantly, we're going to have the words that cut their hearts perfectly, because the Lord's going to put it on our tongues. He knows how he created them. He knows exactly what words will be necessary to be used in our sermons, or in our, or even just a passers-by kind of a comment, or even a little track you hand them. It's going to cut hearts by the tens of thousands and even millions, because we're all over the planet now. We have Seventh-day Remnant believers, whether they call themselves that or not, doesn't matter. They still pass out our literature all over this planet, all 220 nations now. I mean, that number changes like the wind or the weather. It's just, well, out here it's the wind. Blue sky day, windy. Windy day or a raining day, it's windy. It's always windy. But sometimes it's not, so praise his name for that. But they're all the only difference between now and then was, and I guess it's kind of the same if you think about it, because they were envious and filled with hate towards the apostles, because they were more about their authority, they were more about their positions. And even though, yeah, they had money and stuff like that they interchanged, for them it was mostly all about the power, because money wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, you could still buy things, but you didn't have a lot of things to buy. So it wasn't like, I wouldn't think that's where, yeah, I would imagine some of them, it would be a major issue. I mean, look at Judas. He held the bag. And that's why all the 501c3 preachers are actually, you know, being inspired by the same demon that Judas had. They're all holding the bag. It's the same thing. And but today it's more so the money. It's more so the power. It's all about how they can make money. I mean, look at, I don't know if you saw in the middle of the video, I left this one graphic up, even though I kept changing the graphics on the other side of the screen, in regards to how the hospitals were given $13,000 for every patient that they diagnosed with COVID, and then $39,000 if they use a ventilator on them. So you know they're going to call them COVID, and you know they're going to put that ventilator in them, even if it's killing them. And we know that nurses were saying they're killing them with these things. And doctors were saying, you put those ventilators in these people, you're going to kill them. Because that's not how you treat these people with this. But they did it because of the money. Well, think about the other toss of the coin on that. When we're out there as Sabbath keepers, and they're saying it's because of us that they're in another lockdown, because you know they're going to use that card. You know they're going to use that again. Because, you know, just to fan the hatred. So they're going to be in, it might not be a total lockdown, but it you know, because you don't have to wear the masks and you don't have to worry about getting the viruses and stuff like that. But when them plagues start hitting, yeah, it's not going to be easy to be going to work every day. Or even before the plagues hit with the calamities, and especially during the buy and sell. And they're going to have some kind of a lockdown. You know they're going to do that. And so when they do the climate change, and so it's going to be very easy to get them to, you know, cultivate all that hatred in their hearts towards us, because all they got to do is look back and remember what happened in 2020. And hopefully we got a few years of to get ready for all this, but keep in mind, how long, does anybody know, in months, how long did the midnight cry go forth? I'm thinking it was on 6 to 9 months. Does anybody know exactly, Brother Mel, or anybody else, do you know? I think it was 6 months. I think Vern Bates said something about it, one of his videos about it being 6 months. Sister White said the loud cry goes in the same way as the midnight cry. In the midnight cry, there was no Seventh-day Adventist church. Just like in a loud cry, there was no Seventh-day Adventist church now anyway. I mean, they're so corrupted now, it's a shame now to call yourself SDA. You know, that's why we call ourselves SDR. But I think it's 6 months. Is there something wrong with the chat room? No one seems to... I don't know. Matthew's putting something up, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, let's say it's 6 months. They didn't have any internet, but it went global in 6 months. It could take 6 months? Thanks, Andre. Okay, so it was 6 months. So, all right. And so did Anthony and Sister Marlene, or Marilyn. Oh, look at that. Husband and wife. Okay, so it was 6 months. Thanks. So, all right, so now think about that. No internet. Okay, thanks, Brother Mel. All right, thanks. All right, so, yeah, again, so they didn't have internet, but it went global in 6 months. And Vern Bates was saying something to this effect. I got to tell you, I loved talking to the guy when he was alive. I mean, I didn't get it often, maybe a dozen or so times. But I agree with him on this point. It could take all of 2 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, to do the loud cry. We're not going to need that much time to do it. You know? I mean, we're already in every nation. The Lord's already got us. I mean, think about it. Look at the home church movement, the way he did it with us. The only brick-and-mortar churches that I know of are in the Philippines and a few nations in Africa. Everybody else prefers to do it from their homes, especially China. Yeah. And no, we're not mentioning anybody by name from China. It hasn't done that in decades. You know, so, but anyway, it's working exactly the way, you know, so it could go down in a couple, 3 weeks. And like Sister White said, the last few prophecies are going to happen, you know, rapidly. But, oh man, this is why your temptations, the enemy of souls is doing what he can. And if you're not getting tempted off the chart and you're not being annoyed every 5 seconds, or not 5 seconds, but you know what I mean, when was the last time you read your Bible? You know, maybe you're very, very close to being part of the Gideon band and, you know, Satan's just given up. Well, see, I doubt that ever going to happen. He's not going to give up until that eastern sky splits. And so, oh man, I can't wait to start ascending. And that little lowlife, the whispering in the ear is gone. I so understand what Paul meant, and I'm sure all you do too when it comes to, oh, wretched man that we are. You know, or he said that I am. You know, because he went through it like we go through it. I can't stand this flesh that I'm in. I can't wait to see it drop lifeless or changed in the twinkling of an eye. Either way, I can't stand being in it. Can't wait to see what it's like to be out of it. So let me finish this paragraph, because I just looked at the clock and realized I went that long. But it says, they went to the authorities. And this is after, you know, when they were all filled with hatred and all these guys, because... the gospel message is actually gaining popularity. They went to the authorities and represented their work in the most false and exaggerated light, leading the officers to fear that the entire city was in danger of being incited to insurrection. They and see, there's a coin they like to toss around or whatever, is because they were under Roman rule. You got insurrection, you got a bunch of guys coming in on horses. they're going to tear things up. You know, same thing is today. Look at the 501c3. They don't want that to get threatened. And so they're going to do everything they can to protect it, even if it means kicking you out of their church. And that's, like, I would think the overwhelming majority of the people in the Seventh-day Remnant movement are ex-SDA. Because you have a loving heart, you did everything you possibly could to try to reach your pastor. And instead of doing the Matthew 18 thing on you, because if you were, you know, like in sin and you were wrong, then he has to, as a true man of God, try to help you and then bring you in front of the church family if everything else failed in Matthew 18. But no, he kicks you to the curb because he don't want you on that, you know, going out there and telling everybody why you have such a problem with what's going on in the church. They don't want to. They want to keep as many, you know, tithe pumpers in the seats in the pews as they possibly can, because they are preachers of filthy lucre. They'll deny it, but how can they deny it when they have a 501c3? They got that because they can make more money that way. Anyway, going on, they stated that great numbers were attaching themselves to the apostles and suggested that it was for secret and dangerous designs. In other words, just lies, like we have been seeing since Fire Talk days. They spread lies, and every time it just smacks them in the face. I mean, like with what went down in 2012, the schism. Or even before that, with all the other so-called preachers that would attack. Every one of them lost their ministries. Now, the one in 2012 lost it mostly in the, well, from my understanding, mostly in the USA, but still do stuff in other nations. But even there, it's very lukewarm, let's just put it that way, because we do have people that live near and say, yeah, people are still leaving their number and coming into our number in these other nations and say, boy, we did not know there were people like you out here. This is, yeah, well, they don't want you to know that. So anyway, let me just see where this is going. Let me just do this. Okay, let me, this next paragraph, because the last paragraph on page, please don't tell me, okay, at least I did a page and a half, but, all right, so the last paragraph on page 53 is where we'll pick it up next week, but I want to do this next paragraph, because it kind of flows into what's, you know, what we were just talking about there a second ago. So let me just put paragraph, page 53. All right, so, and I got to remind, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put it on now because I don't think the Sabbath breaks here for another 10, 15 minutes, but later I'll put the link to what you want to read along to on WTPR, on the page, the WTPR page. So anyway, it says, in consequence of these charges, the disciples were repeatedly brought before the authorities, but in every case they so ably defended themselves before the people that, although the magistrates were prejudiced against them by the false statements they had heard, they dared not condemn them. You know? And this is what we have seen. Now, the days are coming when they're going to fabricate things against us in the coming days, and we know it's all lies, and what keeps the peace in our heart, even if they throw us behind bars for this fall or all, we don't care, or you shouldn't, because your Father in heaven knows you're innocent. And it was already prophesied that some of us will end up behind bars, some of us will end up on a guillotine, and some of us will end up in the Gideon Band. And so wherever he needs you, it's a holy war. Okay? So when everybody goes out to war, not everybody's going to make it back from, you know, some people are going to die in the field. And that's just how it is. We're in a war. And so we got to be soldiers in Christ and do the best we can. And I'm not saying we're picking up weapons except the two-edged sword, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the only thing we need. So going on, it says, they could but acknowledge that the teachings of the apostles were calculated to make virtue, or to make men virtuous, law-abiding citizens. So they say they could but acknowledge, that the teachings were calculated to make. And see, that's another thing too. Like I was trying to explain to the young man, or old man, I don't even know, on YouTube, I think it was today, now that I think about it, where trying to slam the Christians because we won't stand with them in all these riots and all this anti-government civil disobedience fall to all. And well, because Romans 13:1-7 is plain. Yeah, it's still a bogus government. It's an incorporation. In fact, it's socialism. But at the same time, how well did that work out for anybody that kind of wanted, like guys like Barabbas and his friends, even though he got out of jail, but still, you got his friends that still ended up on crosses and stuff like that before and after, because Romans were running the show. And so you can be the insurrection and do civil disobedience all you want. All it's going to do is get you crucified lethal injection or whatever. They'll just kill you off and get rid of you. So, but here's the thing. Even though we know what the time is short, there's still nothing wrong with us standing as law-abiding citizens and showing others. I mean, like the guy that had the problem with the Christians not doing it. You want the Christians to stop being Christians, join you in anti-Christian activity, and then you get mad when we don't do it? There's something wrong with the mind, with the thought process right there. I mean, because it don't make no sense. You know, it's like putting milk in a gas tank. It just doesn't make sense. You're not supposed to put milk in a gas tank. So anyway, pray for the guy, because hopefully, because he's obviously upset, and you know, I can't remember. I don't know. It could be a girl. Who knows? But yeah, the thing is, the way Sister White goes into detail about this too. But I saw this in the past many times, is with myself and my brothers and sisters in Christ. Atheists don't seem to realize how blessed they are for us still being here. You take the Christians off the planet, or better yet, just wait till the plagues hit. When the Holy Spirit leaves the planet, stops all those people that, like when the Holy Spirit stops people in Congress from doing this or doing that, now they're going to have a free-for-all after the plagues start. Right? The only place you're going to find the Holy Spirit on the planet at that time is in 144,000 different people. That's it. The Gideon Band. Everybody else is going to go nuts. But before that, atheists don't seem to realize how blessed they are. Like, certain situations were supposed to go down in this area or that area. Like, even in scriptures, you see it. Some people were actually spared annihilation because of... Well, you know, here's a good point. Lot. Okay? Remember Abraham's prayer regarding Lot? He was asking the Lord, if there's 10 people in the city that are righteous, will you destroy the city? And the Lord said, no. But the cup was full, which meant there wasn't 10 people in that state or a city, right? See, that's what the atheists keep missing. There's a lot of cities out there that can be literally annihilated, like they were during the San Francisco earthquake, or even that thing at the Great Madrid, like when the fault fell and all this stuff, or even Katrina. There's, you know, because you know what was going down there with their, you know, with their, what is that called, Mardi Gras? And what they do in broad daylight? That was disgusting. But still, there were still some people in the city that were righteous and doing their best, like Lot in Sodom. He was vexed in his spirit. He wasn't, in other words, he wasn't going along with what's going on down there. He wasn't going along. And so the Lord wasn't going to destroy that city until he got Lot out. Remember? Well, the angel says, you got to go. And he pulled him out. But atheists don't look at that. They don't realize how their house is still in pretty good shape because there's a Christian living next door. Even though they hate them to the core, if that Christian wasn't living next door, a tornado coming down the road could have taken their house out. You know, because it would have to take the Christian's house out too, if it's an F5. Anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very, very much for being our Father. Thank you for your Son creating us and creating all things that are seen and unseen. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth in your Word, blessing our walks and our faith and our desire to please you and to love you even more. Thank you for giving us strength to stand firm in these last days, that regardless of what happens all around us, we're going to still stand firm in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the discernment, the faith, the wisdom, the courage, the love, the meekness, everything that we need to not only grow in Christ, but to glorify Christ. And thank you for our Lord, our Savior, and King, in whose name we pray. And that name is forever, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.